You into this community of hope and transcendence. Here we speak wisdom beyond our own experience. Here we open our loving minds to the mystery of wonder and the moral imagination. Here we transcend the day-to-day of our lives to seek for truths both meaningful and sustaining. Here we seek to offer a loving message that provides wholeness in a broken world. We are Unitarian Universalists. I offer you my welcome, and in particular, those who are first-time visitors. We invite you to fill out a card in the back of your hymnal, found in the gray hymnal, place it in the offering plate, or give it to an usher, and we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about programs and activities going on here at church. We are glad you are here, and we hope to see you again on future Sundays. We have a nursery for infants and young children under the age of 4 years old through the doors to the left and the first door past the foyer. I regret to inform you that in 2 weeks we'll be losing our nursery worker, so if you have not thought about volunteering, now is the time. At the front, we have a spirit chair, which includes activities for all ages, not just children. You're invited to go to that chair anytime during the service to take an activity back to your seat. Children and youth are encouraged to attend religious education programmings when we sing and bless our children and youth later in the service. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. We'd also like to remind you that we do have a scent-free zone in our sanctuary during worship. It's these first three pews here on the, well, my left. If you're sensitive to chemical scents found in any personal care products, you are welcome to seek refuge in these pews. We also request that you do not sit in those designated areas unless you are free from any chemical scents. Essential oils are fine, but most perfumes, colognes, hair products, laundry detergent are not. If it says fragrance in it, we ask that you turn off your cell phones during the service or set them to airplane mode, as the concentration of signals from so many devices causes problems with our sound equipment. And we do have many people that listen to this service that aren't able to come, so it's very important that we record it. Thank you. After worship today, we'll have our annual mid-year congregational meeting. The board has a lot to report, and there will be time for questions as well. All members and friends are encouraged to attend. The meeting begins at 11:30 right here in this room. And now a couple other announcements. There will be no seekers after service today due to the semi-annual meeting. Please stay after service for the semi-annual meeting. From Phil Embry and Nancy Kniff, if you're here, raise your hand, give them a little wave so they know who you are. This Wednesday and every first Wednesday of the month, we're having the Tribe book discussion from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. by the fireplace. Yesterday, 58 adults and 6 children, plus a few babies, came to our church's fourth Saturday personal care distribution. We prepare bags with 2 rolls of toilet paper, and then those who come for personal care items may choose 4 more items from our inventory list. The most popular item requested yesterday was laundry detergent. We gave out all that we had, 22 bottles, and could have given out more. So approximately 127 rolls of toilet paper were distributed, along with soap, deodorant, shampoo, and a variety of other products. We also gave out 100 sandwiches. Water, coffee, cocoa, and cookies were available for those waiting in line. A big thank you to all those who donated personal care items this month, and much gratitude to those who made sandwiches and helped with personal care distribution. I believe they're always looking for volunteers as well, so another chance to be in participation. From Tracy Koch, we have the Minister Search Committee. They want to hear from you. So they're going to be by the fireside after each service until February 19th. Please let them know what you would like to see in our next minister. Very importante. Please make yourself heard. We begin our worship with a prelude by our accompanist, Nicole Robbins.
Thank you. I'd like to invite Robin Strenquist up to light our chalice. There's always that moment when the fire comes from the back of the church. Excellent. And I invite you to join in our unison words for the chalice lighting printed in your order of service and projected above. We gather this hour as people of faith, joys and sorrows, gifts and needs, we light this beacon of hope, sign of our quest for truth and meaning, celebration of the life we share together. I share with you opening words this morning from Reverend Mark Morrison Reed. The central task of the religious community is to unveil the bonds that bind each to all. There is a connectedness, a relationship discovered amid the particulars of our own lives and the lives of others. Once felt, it inspires us to act for justice. It is the church that assures us that we are not struggling for justice on our own, but as members of a larger community. The religious community is essential, for alone our vision is too narrow to see all that must be seen, and our strength is too limited to do all that must be done. Together, our vision widens and our strength is renewed. Come, let us worship together. I invite you now to rise in body or spirit and join in singing our opening hymn, number 188, Come, Come, Whoever You Are. Took some searching. Because we have a small number of children, I'm not going to mortify them by asking them to come up here and be on display, because I remember what that was like as a small child, and it was horrible. So, young children can stay in your seats for the time for all ages. And here's a story that a lot of people know. Who here knows the story of the emperor's new clothes? Okay, the adults know. What about the kids? You guys know? Just a couple? You ever heard the story? No? Okay, so the emperor's new clothes, I confess, is getting a lot of traffic this week with ministers. some of us use it multiple times. It seems particularly timely. So there was this emperor once who was very, very vain. He was very sure that he was quite important and that he liked to look very nice. He always liked to have fancy new clothes. And one day, to his kingdom comes a couple of guys who, they're sort of not on the up and up exactly. And they decide that they've got just the gimmick to cheat the king, the emperor. And so they start telling people that they make fabric, that they're weavers, and that their fabric is magic, because it can only be seen by people who are smart. And it is invisible to people who are fools or for people who maybe are in a job that they're not qualified for. So the emperor said, well, I gotta have some of this. That sounds fabulous, because then I will know who in my cabinet maybe is not qualified for the job. If only, if only. So he sent an envoy to talk to the weavers, and the weavers said, oh yes, we do this, this is what we do, and we need lots of gold and silk thread, and we need the finest silks, and it'll be this much. And the envoy gives over the money, and the weavers go and they buy some fine silk thread, and they buy some silver and some gold thread, and they do absolutely nothing with it. They set up the loom, and they do not put the thread on it. They leave it empty, and they pretend to weave. And so they make a big show of being busy, and after a little while, the emperor wants to know how things are going, so he sends one of his most trusted ministers over to check on things. And the guy gets there, and he heard the story about this fabric. He knows that it's only visible to people who are smart, and he gets there, and he sees absolutely nothing. And he says, this is bad. And the weavers say, isn't it beautiful? Isn't it magnificent? We call this alt fabric. Aren't the patterns exquisite? And the minister said, yeah, they're gorgeous. They're beautiful. They're just magnificent. Your artistry is beyond. And so the weavers said, we need more money. We need more money for more materials. And the guy said, okay, and he gives him some money. And he comes back to the emperor, and the emperor says, how did it look? And the guy said, it's beyond description. I cannot tell you how beautiful it is. It is so delicate and so fine. And the emperor says, excellent. A little while later, he sends another guy over to check on things, because it's getting to be about the time that they'd have enough fabric to do something with. And the next minister that the emperor sends over gets there. And again, of course, he sees nothing, because there is nothing. And the weavers say, do you like it? And the guy says, yeah, that's neat stuff you got there. Because he doesn't want anybody to know, of course, that he can't see it, because he knows that means that he's a fool. And so he makes the appropriate sorts of comments about the delicacy of the work and the fine details and the intricacy of the thread, and isn't it beautiful, wonderful, and okay. And how soon will you have enough to make an outfit of clothing for the emperor? Next week. Excellent. So the emperor comes by in a week, and he is alarmed to find that he can see no fabric. But again, he doesn't want to tell anybody that, because that would be a bad thing. So he says, wow, that's remarkable. That's really neat stuff. Let's make an outfit. It's so light. It's as though there's nothing there. It's just there. They said it's the finest craftsmanship. This is what we do. And so they wave their arms a lot and pretend like they're measuring him for a suit, and they pretend like they're sewing a suit, and they pretend like all of that stuff. And so a week later, the emperor comes back for the final fitting. One likes to imagine that he perhaps is wearing underwear, but cartoonists perhaps not. So the emperor says, we will have a grand parade, and I will know who in my kingdom is a fool. And they say, okay. And so he gets his court all around him. He's wearing the magic fabric. As they parade through the streets, he's got a page who's holding up the end of a train that's not there, and they're walking through the streets, and everybody's saying, it's magic, and I can't see it, so I must be a fool. And then finally, in the middle of the city, a child says, the emperor is not wearing any clothes. Why is that? And then the adults began to understand that the fabric indeed was magic, and it indeed did expose who was a fool after all. We don't know exactly what happened to the emperor, but one would like to think there was an impeachment. That's our time for all ages. Let's sing the children out. We've got the lyrics are up here. If you need the music, they're on a little card that's in the pew backs right there. Let's sing the children out. Twice through, please.
Up, our hearts are warmed by the giving of time, talents, love, comfort, and our many other human resources. We each receive from this church the opportunity to explore meaning, purpose, and value in our lives. How does the financial contribution you make here reflect what you receive? How does our collective money transform those within and beyond our congregation's walls? This morning's offering will be most sincerely and gratefully received. May it be lovingly given. Please join me in reciting the offering blessing. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves and these our offerings. Time now for the ritual of joy and sorrow. For things on our hearts that we hold in silence, we recognize them by taking a stone or stones from the bowls as we enter. In both sides, and there's also a bowl down here. We allow the stones to bring us into awareness of these things most important in our lives through thought or meditation. We then place them in the cleansing waters of our community, which includes a little bit of water from our annual water communion. If you have a joy, sorrow, celebration, or struggle you wish to recognize, you're invited to come forward now in a ritual of joy and sorrow.
Our pastoral prayer today is originally written by Stacy Simpson Duke and adapted to UU Sensibilities by me. Let us be in the spirit of prayer. For the refugee families who passed every part of the vetting process, sold all they had, and stood in the airport, ticket in hand, only to be told they could not come here after all, we pray for mercy. For the children orphaned by a war we helped create, waiting to come here, to the foster parents who are waiting for them, only to be told they cannot come here after all, we pray for compassion. For those fleeing violence and persecution, caught in the biggest humanitarian crisis of our time, for whom we represented harbor and hope, who now see those hopes smashed, we pray for peace. For legal residents traveling abroad, including students home on winter break, who now find themselves stranded in airports and locked out, we pray for sanctuary. And for our own complicity in violence, for our refusal to be more than bystanders, for our willingness to let fear weigh more than fact, and to let cowardice overcome our compassion, we confess and beg forgiveness. Prophets told us and teachers taught us, but we have turned away. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. It is true, we have turned away and our love failed. Have mercy on us, O source of unconditional love. Create in us new hearts and put a new and right spirit in us. Deliver us from bloodshed and save us from our own hatred and fear. Save the world from our hatred and fear. The night is dark. May our fears of the darkness of the world and of our nation and of our own lives rest with you and wake to hope. Amen. I invite you now to rise in body or spirit and join in singing our second hymn, number 112, in your gray hymnals, Do You Hear?
Prophet Ezekiel in the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. At the end of the reading, we will enter into a time of silent reflection that will be concluded by the sounding of this bell. False prophets condemned. The word of the Lord came to me. Mortal, prophecy against prophets of Israel who are prophesying. Say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, alas, for the senseless prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Your prophets have been like jackals among ruins, O Israel. You have not gone up in the breaches or repaired a wall for the house of Israel so that it might stand in battle on the day of the Lord. They have envisioned falsehood and lying divination. They say, says the Lord, when the Lord has not sent them, and yet they wait for the fulfillment of their word. Have you not seen a false vision or uttered a lying divination when you have said, says the Lord, even though I did not speak? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have uttered falsehood and envisioned lies, I am against you, says the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who seize false visions and utter lying divinations. They shall not be in the council of my people, nor be enrolled in the register of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord God. Because in truth, because they have misled my people, saying peace when there is no peace, and because when people build a wall, these prophets smear whitewash on it. Say to those who smear whitewash on it that it shall fall. There will be a deluge of rain, great hailstorms will fall, and a stormy wind will break out. When the wall falls, will it not be said to you, where is the whitewash you smeared on it? Therefore, thus the Lord God, says the Lord God, in my wrath I will make a stormy wind break out, and in my anger there shall be a deluge of rain and hailstones in wrath to destroy it. I will break down the wall that you have smeared with whitewash and bring it to the ground, so that its foundation will be laid bare. When it falls, you shall perish within it, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus I will spend my wrath upon the wall and upon those who have smeared it with whitewash, and I will say to you, the wall is no more, nor those who smeared it. The prophets of Israel who prophesied concerning Jerusalem and saw visions of peace for it when there was no peace, says the Lord God.
Down through the millennia, prophets have emerged in times of great social or political upheaval. Out of the madness come these voices, sometimes shouting outrageous things, pleading with people, with kings, with God, and sometimes with all three, to get the truth out in the open. Prophets, it should be noted, are rarely welcome. They say things that make people uncomfortable. Ezekiel spoke his prophetic visions to the ill-behaved Hebrews in Babylonian exile. As prophets go, Ezekiel was one of the more colorful, even hallucinatory prophets of the age. He heard messages in visions directly from God. He describes moving back and forth between Jerusalem and Babylon in his visions, being told by his God to warn the people of their impending destruction. Some prophets plead to God on behalf of humanity, and some plead to humanity as messengers of God. Ezekiel served as a holy messenger from God to God's people, warning the people to stop their idolatry and return to proper behavior. Now, we Unitarian Universalists tend to balk at the Lord language in the ancient scriptures. We are, after all, a faith founded strongly in belief in self-determination and individualism. We don't worship an anthropomorphized God as Ezekiel did, but it's fair to say there are things we hold to be very, very holy. We worship truth and justice, integrity, love, compassion, freedom, So I'd like to reframe today's reading by substituting some language and see how we feel about the text afterwards. And Casey has agreed to help me with this part. False prophets condemned.
The word of the Lord came to me.
The word of love came to me.
Mortal, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are prophesying. Say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination, hear the word of the Lord.
Human, prophesy against the politicians and abusers who are lying. Say to those who speak nonsense out of their own imagination, saying, you are wrong. Hear the word of love.
Thus says the Lord God, alas, for the senseless prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing.
Thus says love, alas, for the senseless scoundrels who follow their own egos and have learned nothing.
Your prophets have been like jackals among ruins, O Israel.
Your leaders have been like thieves, America.
You have not gone up into the breaches or repaired a wall for the house of Israel so that it might stand in battle on the day of the Lord.
You have not worked to help others or supported your country so that it might be strong.
They have envisioned falsehood and lying divination. They say, says the Lord, when the Lord has not sent them, and yet they wait for the fulfillment of their word.
They have fabricated conspiracies and lying predictions. They say, I come in peace, when peace has not sent them, and yet they wait for their dividends to roll in.
Have you not seen a false vision or uttered a lying divination when you have said, says the Lord, even though I did not speak?
Have you never cheated or lied and then said, this is the truth, even though you knew it was a lie?
Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have uttered falsehood and envisioned lies, I am against you, says the Lord God.
Therefore, says justice, because you have told lies and encouraged more lies, I will speak honestly and expose you, says the truth.
My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They shall not be in the council of my people, nor be enrolled in the register of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord God.
My hand will be against the cheaters who see false visions and utter inflammatory statements. They shall not be in the council of my people, nor be enrolled in the register of the house of truth, nor shall they enter the land of compassion, and you shall know that I am love.
Because they have misled my people, saying peace when there is no peace, and because when the people build a wall, these prophets smear whitewash on it.
Because they have misled my people, saying peace when there is no peace, and because when the people set a boundary, these bullies tried to erase it.
Say to those who smear whitewash on it that it shall fall. There will be a deluge of rain, great hailstones will fall, and a stormy wind will break out.
Say to those who smear whitewash on it that it shall fall. There will be a deluge of protests. Great demonstrations will happen, and a cry for justice will break out.
When the wall falls, will it not be said to you, where is the whitewash you smeared on it?
When justice prevails, will it not be said to you, what was your role in this corruption?
Therefore, thus says the Lord God, in my wrath I will make a stormy wind break out, and in my anger there shall be a deluge of rain and hailstones and wrath to destroy it.
Therefore, thus says love, in my compassion I will make the truth be known, and in justice the perpetrators will be named and accountability will be demanded.
I will break down the wall that you have smeared with whitewash and bring it to the ground, so that its foundation will be laid bare. When it falls, you shall perish within it, and you shall know that I am the Lord.
I will break down the web of lies that you paint as truth and bring it to the ground, so that its foundation will be laid bare. And when it falls, you shall be held accountable, and you shall know that I am truth.
Thus I will spend my wrath upon the wall and upon those who have smeared it with whitewash, and I will say to you, the wall is no more, nor those who smeared it.
Thus I will work to restore justice. And to those who have tried to cover up the corruption, I will say to you, the gimmick is no more, nor those who excused it.
The prophets of Israel who prophesied concerning Jerusalem and saw visions of peace for it when there was no peace, says the Lord God.
The prophets of America who misled the people and told stories of peace for it when there was no peace, so says love. We are in a time when prophets are desperately needed. We live in a time of fake news, alternative facts. Scientists are being muzzled. Reporters are being arrested and charged with felony rioting. Families are being split apart at airports around the country and around the world, as residents are refused re-entry after visiting or studying abroad. An emergency stay last night temporarily halted implementation of the policy, but only temporarily. And while people were protesting at airports around the country, the president appointed senior White House advisor and white supremacist Steve Bannon to the National Security Council, and removed both the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the director of national intelligence. The National Security Council is a cabinet-level interagency forum that deals with policy issues affecting national security. It is now run by a white supremacist. This is unprecedented. In response to the last 8 days, China yesterday installed long-range intercontinental ballistic missiles equipped with nuclear warheads on its border with Russia. They are pointed at the United States and within striking distance. In Yemen last night, a U.S. commando died in a raid that was said to be on an Al-Qaeda stronghold. Reports on the ground claim that 40 people were killed, including a dozen civilians and 8 children. An airplane sent to retrieve wounded soldiers crash-landed and was destroyed. A nominee to fill the vacant seat on the United States Supreme Court is expected this week. There is a madman in the Oval Office who tells lie after lie and then denies that he ever said those things. Columnist Charles Blow of the New York Times said it beautifully. Donald Trump is a proven liar. He lies often and effortlessly. He lies about the profound and the trivial. He lies to avoid guilt and invite glory. He lies when his pride is injured and when his pomposity is challenged. Now is the time for us to be the embodiment of the holy. Now is the time for us to be love's voice and truth's voice and integrity's voice in the public arena. We no longer have the luxury of being able to sit back, watch Rachel Maddow, and complain on Facebook that the world has gone to hell. When even Dick Cheney weighs in to say the man has gone too far, that's a grim sign. If we are to prevent the rise of the Fourth Reich, we need to speak the truth and to refuse to go along as our nation's leaders begin efforts to deport refugees, to create a registry of Muslim citizens, to encourage acts of violence and hate against our neighbors. The man holding the highest office in the country is being portrayed by his staffers as an out-of-control maniac, making policy decisions based on the last thing he saw on television and picking fights with the press over how many people did or didn't attend his inaugural party in the rain. He is a pathologically fragile egomaniac with an inferiority complex, a narcissistic size queen with a paranoid fixation on his own fame. Not only is he unhinged and unintelligible, but he's dangerous. Already, legal residents of the U.S. are being denied re-entry. Already, scientists are hiding out on Twitter, posting information anonymously so they are not fired. His aides and staffers are frantically working to keep him from flying into rages and lashing out in decidedly unpresidential ways, while his senior advisors have dropped all pretense of hiding their true fascist agenda, using dog whistle terms like America First, and pledging to publish lists of crimes allegedly committed by immigrants. There is no more hiding that this administration's strategic plan was torn straight from the pages of the Third Reich propaganda mastermind, Joseph Goebbels. It is no coincidence that the president lashed out at Congressman John Lewis on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It is no coincidence that he managed to mark Holocaust Remembrance Day without ever saying the word Jewish, or that he chose that same day to impose a ban on refugees from Muslim countries, but only those countries with whom he had no business dealings. Step one for Hitler was to discredit the media. Step two was to silence scientists and government employees. Step three, when hate crimes grew and violence became extensive, Hitler ended civil liberties, giving law and order as the cause. Those who opposed Hitler were ridiculed and threatened. Step four, Hitler's wealthy supporters purchased media outlets, employing only those faithful to the ruling party. In step five, the final step, Hitler declared that the only way the country could be unified was to restore traditional values. Minorities, including gays, the disabled, Jews, Roma, and people of color, were considered inferior and sent to death camps for slaughter. We are presently somewhere between steps two and three. If ever there was a time for prophets to perch on the walls of the city and shout truth to all who might hear it, this is the time. Perhaps the best-known prophet of our day is Reverend Dr. William Barber of the Moral Monday movement from North Carolina. Reverend Dr. Barber has been a tireless public figure calling out injustice in state and federal policies alike. He is a regular guest on television and radio news programs and is a powerful and moving preacher of moral values in America. Being prophetic does not require that we all be famous preachers or frontline demonstrators. Currently, the resistance is being led by Teen Vogue magazine, 3 million women in pink knitted hats with pussy ears, some scientists on Twitter, Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and Smokey the Bear. This is an accessible movement, and it needs each of us. There's a neat document recently created by former congressional staffers. It's called Indivisible, A Practical Guide to Resisting the Trump Agenda. Now, it started out as a Google document and is now available for free online in a PDF platform. I have a few printed hard copies in the fellowship hall for those who maybe don't have the resources or the technology to print out such a thing at home. This little gem of a document explains how ordinary citizens can get their voices heard most effectively by those who are elected to represent us. It is a plainly written, accessible guide to citizen activism, and it looks a whole lot like the plan implemented years ago by the fringe group that became known as the Tea Party. The booklet explains how to organize locally, how to lobby effectively, and how to take the long view on issues that are important. And the truth is, for some of us, truly disruptive forms of resistance open us up to a dangerous level of vulnerability. Those who are undocumented or who have outstayed their visas, Those who are immigrants or Muslims or Jews or other forms of non-Christians viewed by the administration as threats. Those who are gay, lesbian, bi, or transgender have more to fear from arrest than straight, white, cisgender people. Those from marginalized populations may not be able to protest in the streets or even write a letter to the editor. That's okay. Your first obligation is to keep yourself safe. Let people with more privilege do the dangerous stuff. You are too precious to risk. Keep yourself alive. We need you. Take heart. Do not be discouraged. We have each other. I want to close this morning with words from a friend and colleague, Reverend Jordan Nelson Long. She writes, "Loves, I know that we're tired, overwhelmed, unable to keep up. This is real. Overload and overwhelm are what is happening. And barrage is part of their plan. But our plan is to keep watch. And we can take shifts. You don't have to scan the sky alone all night long. But please don't shush the brave among us. Because the time to be brave is not later, after we've exhausted all other options and our backs are literally against the wall. The time to be brave is now. It starts now, one at a time, and the courage is contagious. And when you see it, I want you to think of all that has come before. Bree Newsom climbing that flagpole in South Carolina to remove the Confederate flag. The Philadelphia 11 claiming with their bodies the call to ministry that the Episcopal Church was otherwise never going to recognize. 3 million women and their allies in the streets last weekend. When you see those things, and there will be more, do not ask them to hide their light under a bushel out of fear and a false belief that hiding in darkness will protect you. It won't. Our voices will. Our love will. And so, watch the next audacious spark, just like you would an unexpected, beautiful firework across the darkness of the winter sky, and think, thank you. See it, celebrate it. Think, that one was for us. And think about where your own courage might live. We're here with you." Words of Jordan Nelson Long. May this be our prayer. May this be our plan. May this be our action. Blessed be and amen. I now invite you to rise in body or spirit and join in singing our final hymn, "We Would Be One," which is number 318 in your gray hymnals. Thank you. Please join in our unison words for extinguishing the chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. Let us go forth from this place, refreshed in spirit, deepened in our conviction, and inspired by our compassion to love and serve the world and its people. The service begins when the service ends. Go in peace.